You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken, we trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com.
Tonight we'll be reading Chapter 2 of Kingdom of God, Volume 2, pages 11 through 13, and the title to the chapter is Freedom and Liberty in the Kingdom. Freedom was not easily won, and it is not easy to keep. There have been only two kinds of people on the earth, those who were free and those who were not. Of all the millions who have lived, billions, actually, only about 3% have known freedom, according to Our Heritage of Faith, Volume 1, page 2. The great and mighty nations of the world have made slaves out of their captives and also of their own citizens. And the greatest deception ever given is that you're free. You're free to do what you're told, but you're not free to have the United Order, because the IRS will come down on you. You're not free to live plural celestial marriage, because up until recently it was a felony to practice your religion in a nation that allows freedom of religion. You know, like, you're not really free. You think you're free? You're not free. You're free to wander about your confinement. Anyway, but You're not free to not pay taxes. Anyway, go ahead. We'll go ahead with the next. We'll continue reading. Anyway, if you had been born in an Assyrian 15th century, I'm sorry, if you had been born an Assyrian 15th century before our Messiah, you would have lived under a cruel, bloodthirsty kings who were continually seeking new conquests and the riches of other nations. You probably would have served in the army, which required you to fight until a battle was over, then to march on to another battle and fight until you were dead. You would have never known freedom, only marching, fighting, and killing. If you had been an Egyptian, you would have believed that your pharaoh ruled by divine right and divine birth, and that he was a god who could do no wrong. You would have lived in a little mud house, watching thousands of slaves work under the taskmaster's lash. You would have probably worked in the quarries or in the mines, plowed the lands, or served in the army. All the land, as well as its riches, were property of the pharaoh. Chances were that you would have lived, worked, and died as a slave. We're on page 12 for those of you who are reading along. As a member of the Greek civilization, you would have honored the pagan gods and would have been allowed no freedom. You would have served the ruling class whose goal it was to obtain wealth and luxury. Your labors for these weak and selfish leaders would have been in vain as soon as they fell to the powerful Roman armies. If you had been born a Roman, you still would not have enjoyed any more freedom. For Rome was held together by powerful emperors and huge armies. You probably would have served in the military, been a laborer on the emperor's roads and the empire's roads and buildings, or just become another serf. The Caesars were cruel, corrupt, and vicious, and the Roman citizens had to suffer under their insanity. If you had been born during the first 1,000 years of Christianity, you would have seen the rise of other feudal powers that sent thousands of soldiers to their death. Perhaps you would have been sent to the Americas, where there was an extensive slaughter of the natives for the glory of the Mother Church. And we're not just talking about like North America. This happened in South America and in Latin America as well. So, continuing on, the Crusades gradually came out of the Dark Ages into the Renaissance and then into a Reformation. But it was accomplished by the shedding of the blood of millions in the name of God. There was the kingdom of God. Where was the kingdom of God during the rise and fall of these world kingdoms and cultures? Certainly, among all the billions of God's children, there is some evidence that the existence of his kingdom. There must be a reason why so many of God's children knew nothing about his kingdom. This is one of the great mysteries pertaining to the kingdom of God. However, the words of Joseph Smith help to explain, quote, "I say in the name of the Lord that the kingdom of God was set up on the earth from the days of Adam to the present time, whenever there has been a righteous man on the earth, unto whom God revealed his word and gave power and authority to administer his name, and where there is a priest of God, a minister who has the power and authority of God to administer in the ordinances of the gospel and officiate in the priesthood of God, there is the kingdom of God." Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 271. We're on page 13, by the way. So we're getting pretty close to the end. We're at 70% now. This is a really short chapter. I am opening up the guest call-in line for anybody who wants to ask a question or make a comment. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. And the lines are open now. If you do call in, please press 1, and that will enter you into the host queue, where I'll be able to see that you want to come on the air. So, all right, continuing on. The problem with mankind is that they are more interested in their own little kingdom than that of God's kingdom. They fight over each other's land parcels, palaces, and pieces of gold more often than they do over freedom and liberty, which are the basic elements of God's kingdom. Not only that, like, they fight, especially the fundamentalists, they fight over who has the keys and the authority. You know, I'm more righteous than the other guy, and for some reason the keys were given to me by who knows how they get them. I mean, I've heard a couple of stories, but anyway, so it drives me nuts, and it makes me want to just, like, walk away from the whole thing. Like, I don't even care anymore. But I don't know. Anyway, continuing on. Once again, the prophet Joseph Smith commented, quote, "But while one portion of the human race is judging and condemning the other without mercy, the great parent of the universe looks upon the whole family, human family, with a fatherly care and a parental regard. He views them as his offspring, and without any of those contracted feelings, the influence that influence the children of men." Hold on. Olivia, what do you know? Okay, get her a drink of water, too. My wife's been suffering from asthma her whole life, but it's kind of acted up over the last, I don't know, week. Probably has something to do with the goat dander. I don't know. Oh, anyway, goats. Drive me nuts, but all right, let's see here. I'll just start. "And without any of those contracted feelings that influence the children of men, causes his son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust." And rain in Hebrew is a metaphor, or I guess it's a metaphor for blessings. So when he says he will send rain upon them, that means he sends blessings upon them. And it's in Hebrew idiomism. Right, let's see. "He holds the reins of judgment in his hand. He is the wise lawgiver and will judge all men not according to the narrow contracted notions of men, but according to the deeds done in the body, whether they be good or evil." Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 218. Joseph had a deep love for liberty. It is a love of liberty which inspires my soul. Civil and religious liberty to the whole of the human race. Love of liberty was diffused into my soul by my grandfathers while they dandled me on their knees. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 313. The kingship of God on earth is represented through his righteous prophets, priests, and kings. Oh yes, he does have kings in his kingdom. Anybody who's been giving their second anointing, if they're male, they've been set apart as a king and a priest. And any woman who has received her second anointings, like my wife has, she's looking at me now. What are you talking about? she is set apart as a queen and a priestess. So, and there is a priesthood that goes along with that as well, both for the patriarchal priesthood and the matriarchal priesthood. All right, let's see. When love of freedom and liberty is instilled deep within their hearts, they can then be true servants in the kingdom of God. So, all right, that's the end of that chapter. And I don't see anybody on the line, which is fine. And I don't see any questions. Let me refresh this studio and make sure I'm not missing anyone here. And nope, I am not missing anyone here. Let me get over to the chapter. I want to see what the next chapter is, so I can let you know. It'll be chapter 3, and it will be Understanding the Kingdom of God, and that will be on pages, starting on page 14, going to page 23. So that'll be a little bit of a longer chapter to go over. We will not be covering it tomorrow. Tomorrow we will be doing the Kevin Kraut phone call, and I will be driving my truck when we do that. So Kim will, we have it worked out. So anyway, but I will be on the call. I'll be driving at the time. So let me see here. Trying to fix this real quick. Is she asleep? My wife just got back from traveling up to Utah County, and she took all the daughters and the baby son today, and my 14-year-old boy is bringing one of the children in that is sleeping. So let's put it right here. I'm trying not to drop it. Why are you trying to give me all this when I'm doing a radio show? Because you like to interrupt my radio show? It's my 11-year-old daughter, by the way. For those of you who are listening to me talk to her, well, she's not supposed to be talking to me on my radio show. Anyway, unless you have something to say about what I've been reading, want to talk about it? No, she hasn't been listening. So, all right, so we don't have anybody on the call. I wonder, well, I guess the kids haven't had a spiritual witness of my claims. My wife ran into one of our friends today. I'm not going to say his name. And I hate this, but he is going through some really hard things. His wife is in the hospital. She's not doing well. His business shut down. He's living in his sister's basement with their kids, and Kim saw him in the parking lot where she was today in Utah County, and I miss his friendship because we used to live up in Spanish Fork, and we used to go to his church all the time. And his brother was actually a patriarch in my church, the Church of the Living Messiah. And he was there when I set him apart and gave him a patriarchal blessing. We did a bunch of ordinances. And he had heard all my claims before, especially in the church that I'd go to his church a lot, just because I like to be around like-minded people. So he knew all of these things about me, all these things I had claimed, the whole story. And while I was setting apart his brother and doing the ordinances that were being done that night, the spirit was really strong. And he talked about that, how strong the spirit was and how strong the priesthood ordinances were, to the point where as I was speaking by the power of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, he knew what was going to come out of my mouth. So when God speaks to certain individuals, they're giving blessings, sometimes the words that are coming out of the physical mouth are being given to the person by revelation as they speak them. Yeah, and other people who are in tune, they will hear, they'll know what is going to be said, and he knew what was going to be said, and the spirit was really strong. He had a really powerful witness that God was in that place, and that what was going on was really legitimate. And this person, knowing the claims that I have, he talked about that, but then he just went on and did his own little thing, you know? I wish that you were on the air. Do you want to call in the guest line and I'll put you on, Kim? It's 917. Are you on the 889-8827? My wife is going to come on the air here in a minute. That's cool. Hello, Lydia. Why are you trying to talk to me while I am doing the radio show? This is the second time. Go.
Okay, am I echoing?
I'm going to mute myself and you say what you're going to say.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say that we've known him for a while, quite a while, when we moved over to, we met him a while back.
Yeah, right when we moved to Spanish Fork. Right, this is why you need your headset. Anyway, right when we moved to Spanish Fork, like, I had been in contact with the missionaries. At the time, he was living in, I think, Chandler, Arizona, and he just moved there. Remember that? And we were attending their branch, even though I was commanded to create the Church of the Living Messiah. Like, this is a ministry of teaching and learning. We do ordinances and baptisms and all kinds of those type of things. But, like, I never wanted to have a house church. I always want to go to somebody else's church because I don't want responsibility.
Anyways, he was living up there when we lived up north. And he was really fun and fun to talk to him because he is very literal. I understand that. He's super intelligent. He's a lawyer, right? Well, he has passed the bar, so there's he was. So anyways, so he's a really great, he's so awesome. He's fun. Anyways, he's been going through a lot though lately because and now has another 4 year and is in the hospital, so she prayers as well, so does he. And they have in varying ages, going through this too in their own will. So he's just, when we moved from up there, it kind of scared him at first, and he's like, oh, sell my house and move down now too?
Little context. Heavenly Father in 2015 told me to move to Emory County and to leave the city and to warn people to leave the populated areas because something was going to happen and it was safer to be out in the country. I didn't know what it was. I kind of get it now. Even though this coronavirus is a flash in the pan and what's coming is worse. But he told me to warn everybody to leave the cities and the populated areas. And I talked a lot about that in my old radio show, The Kingdom of God or Nothing. But, like, his brother actually moved out of the city. He moved to Sunnyside, not to where we were, which drove me a little bit nuts. And then he moved back to the city after that because it's like, I don't even know. But our friend, I don't remember this, but Kim says that he talked about how, oh, he needs to move. So anyway, I'll mute myself again.
Okay, I had anyway, so really concerned and worried when we decided, or when we told him that, and he was like, oh man, that means I need to like sell my house, you know, get everything ready, and we should be moving too, you know. And I know that he believes, but at the same time, it's hard for him to witness. But it's hard for him because he has this hold on this other church. It's always like a in that other church, yeah. So it's hard for him. But we talked about it before. I don't not believe. So he's just like, I think he's, what is it, puzzled a little bit because he's like, man, how do I feel? How does this? Because I know what you claim, and I know what you said, and I have felt and had this witness of your priesthood, and he knows. But then it's like a conundrum. I don't know. He's like all, but now he is having all these other problems. And I was talking with him. He said that. I don't know. It's probably because I once dated it or something like that. Fire and brimstone. So, yeah.
Well, his wife has leukemia. His wife got through her first round of cancer and then divorced him because she doesn't believe the way he believes. Like, literally, that's why she divorced him. Like, he's not abusive. He's not a jerk. He's a really good guy. Yeah. And my son says, he's cool. He's cool. Pretty cool. Anyway, we're all laughing here about inside jokes, but we really care about this guy, and I hate it because, okay, so he knew all the claims. He knows that the priesthood is really strong when ordinances are being done by me, even to the point where he knew what was going to be said before it was being said. He knows that God is with me. If I was like a deceiver or a liar, God wouldn't be with me. You know, if I was this wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, there wouldn't be no witness. And I've seen this over and over again where people that I care about, they get a witness and they don't do anything about it. You know, this individual, his wife finally did have to come back because she got so sick, even though she got over the first round of cancer and then it came back and now she has leukemia. And he lost his law practice because just not enough business. You know, he lost his house. He's living in his sister's basement with his kids. Jobless. Thank goodness he's not homeless, but This reminds me of Joshua Sparks, somebody who actually saw Heavenly Father put his hands on my head and give me certain authority and certain keys, and also the Father told him to do certain things, and he just didn't do it. You know, I kept telling him, I'm not telling you to do this stuff. Heavenly Father told you. I didn't tell you to do anything. It wasn't me getting a revelation for you. He spoke directly to you. So why aren't you doing what God told you to do? So he blocks me on Facebook, and then he like unblocks me, and then he wants to talk, and then he doesn't know what to do, and then, you know, and second guesses everything. Like, it's so, and anyway, finally, God lays a curse on him. He has a heart attack. His dad dies. He almost loses his home. He loses his job. He almost lost his family. Like, just all these things. And like, I've seen this over and over and over again, where curses have come upon people that I know and people that I love. And I hate it, because, like, I don't want that for anyone, but if the Spirit testifies to certain things, then why don't people listen? You know, I was telling Kim, my wife, that so Jesus Christ is what is called the Rock of Judah. And people that encounter Jesus are either going to be broken by him to repent and turn back to God and have a contrite heart and become humble, or they're going to be crushed by him. That's the choice. That's not what Jesus necessarily wants, but that's what he is. You know, he loves everyone, but he wants people to repent and become contrite and humble. Hold on. Kim, is Arius sleeping and looking like he's trying to suck on a bottle? That's so funny. My 11-month-old is like sleeping, and he looks like he's sucking on a bottle. He has no what? Kim. Oh, yeah. He's all like all over the place. Anyway, but... And I've seen this happen with different individuals where God has given them a witness and then expects them to act upon that witness, and they don't. Our friend, his wife didn't leave him before this. Of course, they've had problems for years because he believes in plural celestial marriage. He believes in the law of adoption. He believes in the United Orders and all of that. And his wife, when they were engaged, she knew that he believed in all that stuff, but she married him anyway. Anyway, so I don't want to get too much into detail with everything, but just to watch his, since 2015, watch his life go downhill in the way that it has is heartbreaking. And I wonder about his dad, because his dad, yeah. Well, I guess if we wanted to ask him, we'd ask him. Like, we won't bring it in to the radio show. But, like, this, there's a certain curse that has come upon his whole family. Even that patriarch that I told you about, like, things that he did after he rejected things and then started going off onto these weird tangents and stuff, ended up in prison. And he had a powerful gift of God, and he fell. So, I don't know, like, if you're a threat to the devil's kingdom, the devil is going to do everything that he can to destroy you. But if you're under the covering of God because you're in the place that you're supposed to be, he's going to protect you.
Right.
But if you leave that covering because you're disobedient and, like, you leave the umbrella when it's raining, you know, Kim, you have to unmute yourself.
Okay, there we go. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, sometimes people aren't sure what it, why are things happening? Is it because you're getting persecuted? Are you getting that persecution? Maybe it's, what?
You can't think about
what I am. It's confusing to people because some people think, oh, persecution from the devil, but then other people believe that, well, I think God's punishing me. I don't think it's from the confusing. Do you know what I mean? You don't know what I'm saying? Well, it's hard. Some people are like, well, I think I'm being persecuted, I'm doing the right thing. And then some that it's actually God who they didn't do what they what God wanted them to.
God doesn't persecute people, but he does remove his protection from people so that the enemy can hit them in hopes that they repent. So I don't know. I knew that his wife was sick. I didn't realize how sick she was. I didn't realize that he had lost his job or his business, really. You know, and just all these things from them. He was talking about how he doesn't, or he thinks that maybe he's gone through this because he's not doing what God has asked him to do. Yeah, and I know how he feels because, like, I don't want to do what I'm doing. And whenever I don't do what I'm doing, I feel, like, not good, you know. But I don't know. Like, at least we've been blessed for doing, you know, like when we moved down to Emory County, we didn't know. We didn't like it down here. We did not want it. I mean, I kind of did, but I didn't like the neighborhood we lived in. But God was preparing a place for us. You know, we have this farm now. Like, it basically fell into our laps. Like, not where I wanted to be, but it's a good deal, you know. I don't know. I don't know what to think of it. I'm sad for my friend, and I wish that the other ones that are still alive, some of them have died. Like, when I told them that, like, if they didn't repent, like, they would be cursed, like, a year went by, and there's a couple of them, they just died. You know, they got sicker and sicker and sicker, they refused to repent, and then they just die. You know, but I don't think that's what's going to happen with Joshua Sparks or with our other friend that I'm not going to say his name. I think that eventually they'll repent, but they still have, you know, consequences of their inaction. So I don't know. Anyway, I don't know what to think about any of this. I think I'm going to leave it at that. I just was thinking about that today. So, all right. Well, like I said, Sunday night will be on about 8 o'clock. Is it 8 or 7? It's 8, right? It's 8?
Yep.
Okay. So we'll be on with Kevin Crotton friends. They're also doing a new moon meeting, with, Jonathan, and Eugene Richardson and I don't know, Joshua Erickson, different people. So, but I can't do two meetings at once. So we'll probably get the audio for that and then do a pre-recorded podcast. I'm not sure how that's all going to work. So Anyway, I'm going to be done with it. I just like to close out by saying a little prayer for my friend and for everyone out there. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this day, Father, that thou would forgive us of our sins and our transgressions. We ask thee, Father, to be patient and merciful with us as we go through this learning process in this mortal plane. We ask thee, Father, forgive us of our sins and help us to turn back to thee. We love thee, Father, and we look forward to thy kingdom being built upon this earth. We ask for thy blessings to be upon all of us, including my friends who have seemed to be under a certain curse. We realize, Father, that when we're a threat to the devil's kingdom, that he will come after us. And we ask thee, Father, that even though we might be a threat to the devil's kingdom, and maybe we have to go through a certain amount of persecution in order to learn certain things, we ask thee, Father, for thy divine protection and thy divine covering to watch over us and to keep us safe. We love thee, Father, and we ask for thy blessings to be upon us in Yeshua's name, even that of the Messiah. Amen. All right, I'm going to just play the music, and then we don't have any guest callers, so I'll get that out of here. So, all right, take care, everyone. God bless and goodbye.